Well, I have a guest that's coming on, Brandon Grisco, who is with the Fossone Grisco law firm. He hates to talk about himself. He proves his acts in work and production, and he's grabbed on to going up against the Goliath, and for, I say, all the right causes. Brandon, you with me?
I'm with you. Good to be with you, brother counsel.
Yeah, the pleasure is all ours. And I first started tracking the Wayne County dump site when everyone will remember when a train was derailed in Ohio, and all the toxins of that train came out, and basically people were being told to stay in houses, not to get into the area, not to, you know, breathing with asthmatic mask and the like. It was a scary situation. Little did I know that train was coming to dump the material here in Wayne County. And sure enough, you and your team have put together from the Manhattan Project something that obviously you had a TRO, a temporary restraining order, granted in your way. But tell us a little bit of what scares you about this case, what you're looking at, and what is the fight.
Well, I think you're absolutely right when you say we're going up against the Goliath. You know, you've got a national waste management type company, very well funded, and you can bet that they're going to put up quite the fight here. So nothing's for certain at this point. We do appreciate the judge's swift review of our motion for temporary restraining order that was granted, as you said, and we've got a hearing scheduled for next week. So we expect that Wayne Disposal, which is the defendant, is going to be aggressively fighting that temporary restraining order, most likely. But this case really came about, Todd, out of the public and the community's need for safety and need to be secure, including things like emergency response, fire service, and the public's right to be heard in public hearings and things like that. So that's really the genesis of the case, is the frustration of the public and the communities with not feeling like they're being heard before EGLE and things like that.
I can only imagine, after doing the research about, we're not even the public under federal law is not necessarily always allowed to know what toxins and what radioactive material is coming into this dump site and what gets put into the air and the like. But one of the things you talk about, and I think, you know, I read Warren Evans' statement and I totally agree, you know, safety is number one. But a lot of the things that may concern people and that I'm sure you're concerned about is trucking or transportation of this material and how it gets to and from, and what safeguards, what happens if there's a spill, what happens if we don't have the right people, you know, I mean, obviously those things had to go through your mind when you were going through this.
Absolutely. You know, the firefighters that we've talked to, and this is in our complaint, it's supported with evidence that we attach to it and everything, but the fire departments locally are ill-equipped to respond to some type of radiological release or event. You know, beyond calling a regional team or something like that, that then also likely is just going to call for somebody with a higher level of training even. There's just no response plan in place to deal with something like that, especially when you don't know where it's coming from, what route it's going to travel, what security measures are in place, what exact type of material it is. There's so many unknowns that it's impossible to prepare any type of emergency response plan when there's that level of unknown in the system.
Sure. I mean, when you think about this, everybody, I mean, the tons of listeners to this concept here, just imagine, if you will, how many truck accidents do we see in a day, whatever the case may be. Imagine in your mind's eye that you have a truck hauling radioactive material from the Manhattan Project. And my good friend Brandon here, as it's coming through, we don't know, one, how it's going to be captured and capsulized into the hull, into necessarily the dump. Two, if there's an extreme event, how do we know we have the right protections and guards put in place I can only imagine, you know, the people that you represent, the community, the citizens, the fact that this is what your bailiwick of taking on and working for municipalities, that's got to be everybody's concern.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it just goes back to, there's certain things we're just unaware of at this point, things that we don't know. Not to mention that once this material actually gets to the facility, what happens with it at that point? And if there's some type of incident, be it a fire or a medical incident or something else at the facility, now you've got first responders that have to go in and try and assess and deal with that situation. And how are they going to do that safely?
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, listen, my friend, your reputation speaks for itself in advance for representing communities and the like and what you do. Godspeed to you. And, you know, make the people proud.
Todd, thanks for having me on.
All right, my pleasure. We'll be right back with Behind the Bench and a special guest that I'm excited to talk to. I could spend a couple hours with him about the techniques for which he uses. You know, I did not know this. I did not realize that there is a dog that they have as can detect eavesdropping. It's going to be amazing to speak with him. But we'll be right back just after this.